today on Real Life Radio.
I'm going, he says, to go prepare a place for you up where my Father's dwelling is. I'm going to be doing it. And when I'm done, I'll come get you. Yeah, I know it's been 2,000 years. I'm still working on it. But when it's done, I'm going to come get you. And just to make sure you're not confused about where that's going to be, I'm going to be preparing it. I'll come get you, and I'm going to take you where I've been.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over 1 million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, What Happens Next? This series is a study in what the Bible says about the future and why it matters in our lives today. You see, God doesn't want us to be ignorant when it comes to future events. Bible prophecy was given to us by God to give us a future and a hope. So, what happens next? Today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the rapture is a promised event that could happen at any moment. The Bible tells us that the true Christ followers will be caught up with those who've died in the faith to meet Jesus in the clouds to forever be with Him. Now with his message called What Happens Next, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We are continuing today, really, our second study in our series that we've just embarked upon, entitled Futures. We're going to be looking at the major Bible prophetic doctrines of the Bible. Last week was our foundations class, and today we start with the one that is perhaps for us in real life, in real time, most important. And today we're looking at a message titled, What Happens Next? What Happens Next? And I don't know why, I'm glad to be at third service, not because the day's almost over, but because I hope that you guys are way different, as you normally are, than first and second services. First and second, don't tell anybody, but first and second services, it was like licking a rock. Now, maybe it's me, but man, it was tough going. Why is that, though? Because so many people who attend this church have come from churches that don't know anything about Bible prophecy. They think they've been told all kinds of crazy things. And I think that's why the plowing is getting rough, is because some people, like I'm quoting, I've never heard this before. Well, you need to know your Bible. You're gonna know it a lot more as we go through this series. But what happens next, I hope happens today. And if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18, we're gonna be looking at a fast pace, a lot of data, a lot of verses, study regarding what God's speaking to us about what could happen next. I will read the odd numbered verses beginning in verse 13. If you pick it up in verse 14, we'll go down odd and even down to verse 18. So I'll take 13, you begin in 14, and here we go. Paul says to them, Paul the Apostle, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. That's the Christian, the believer when they die. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain, that's like now, today, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18. Verse 18 says, comfort one another. Man. Father, we pray that you would anoint the going forth of your word to us today. We ask God now that you would instruct us out of it. And we thank you, Father, that your word gives light. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. There is a book, if this topic interests you, there's a book. One book you can buy, it can save you an entire library. That's written by Dr. John Wolverine. Genius book. Brilliant theologian. You ought to buy it. Here's the reason why. Christian, listen, if you're a Christian, you believe in the rapture, but depending upon what denominational influences have been upon your life, you and I may differ as to when the rapture happens. There is not one Christian on the planet that says there's no rapture. The question is, when is it? Is it pre-tribulational, mid? Is it post-tribulational? This book, The Rapture Question by Dr. John Wolverine, covers all views that are out there today. And to his credit, Dr. John Wolverine has been blessed by his opponents. I'll put it that way. Those who have a different view. And they say of him, he argues each view so good that he does it better than we do ourselves. That's how good he argues all the different views of what is the rapture? When will it happen? What are the characteristics? How is it different than the second coming of Christ? The rapture. One is an appearing. The other one is a physical arrival. One is an atmospheric manifestation for the church only. The other is a physical, literally physical return of Christ to not only the world, but a very specific spot, Jerusalem. In fact, even the Mount of Olives, then Jerusalem, then the Temple Mount for 1,000 years. It's very serious, but a lot of people today don't understand and don't know. Why is that the case? Why are we a church gathering obviously thousands and thousands of people today, and people having so many different views. And it all comes down to the fact that we have been brought up thinking a certain way by whatever influences have been placed upon us. We're going to run through 6 things today, and we'll do it as fast as we can. I have 45 minutes to do this, and so we're going to go quick. I'm going to ask you to write small in your notes so you can get all of these, because my hope is to get you to be thinking about what happens next and why answering that question is very important. Here we go. Number one, regarding the passage of scripture we just read, we're talking about the rapture. The rapture of the church. And you might say and ask the question, what is it? And that is number one. What is the rapture? Why would you ask that question? Let's be honest. Because the word rapture doesn't appear in the English Bible. That's a good start. I don't believe in the rapture because it's not in my Bible. Well, first of all, neither is the word Bible in your Bible. Neither is the word Trinity in your Bible. But the doctrine of the Trinity is in your Bible, isn't it? The doctrine of the Bible is in the Bible, isn't it? And the doctrine of the rapture is in the Bible for this reason. Rapture, if you read Latin today, the word rapture is in your Bible. That criticism, I don't believe it because it's not in the Bible, is kind of an embarrassment. Don't use it anymore if that's you. Don't say it anymore. I'm trying to protect you here. Don't say it anymore because you might be thinking, God speaks English and he wrote the Bible in English. No, he didn't. He wrote the Bible in a little bit of Aramaic, a lot of Hebrew, and Greek. And the word for rapture in Greek is harpazo. Almost sounds Italian. I'd like to have a calzone and two harpazos. It means to be violently removed for good, not bad. It's not a bad removal. It's to be snatched away like it were you're being pulled from a train track in an oncoming train. You're pulled into safety. Harpazo. Rapture. Or in the English, it's two words, caught up. And you read that a moment ago, but you're going to see it more. What is the rapture? It says right here in verse 13. Notice this, I'm going to say this a lot. Verse 13, I'm going to drill it into you. Paul told the Thessalonican believers, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, untaught, brethren, concerning, and we'll pause right there and look at verse 17. Drop down to verse 17. I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about this. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be raptured, caught up together with them. You're going to know the difference today about who we are and who them are. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, atmosphere. By the way, it's not celestial universe. It's not starry sky. It's atmospheric. If you're into science, that's from zero elevation to about 126,000 feet. That's pretty amazing. The Bible says you someday are going to meet Jesus in the atmospheric sky. Wow. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Isn't that what you're living for? To be with him? So number one, mark it down if you would. It's a promised event. What do we know about the rapture? It's a promised event. Promised to us beginning with none other than Jesus Christ himself. In John 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. John 14. This is an amazing passage. And if you don't believe in the rapture, then you've got bigger problems than that. But the issue is, why not believe in what Jesus says? I do believe in what Jesus said. Okay, we'll start here. In John 14, 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places, beautiful places to live in. If it were not so, I would have told you." So he's not joking. "I go to prepare a place for you." Church, did Jesus leave earth 2,000 years ago? He left earth 2,000 years ago, and he said, "I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you." Okay, he made the worlds and the universes in 6 days. He's been gone for 2,000 years, and he said, "I'm preparing a place for you." I think it's going to be pretty amazing. Plus, he's not only a shepherd, he's a carpenter, so it's a slam dunk for him. "And if I go," did he go? Yes. Oh, he went. "And prepare a place for you." Here it is. Hang on. Here it comes. "I will come again and receive you to myself." If it ended right there, we could argue about this forever, but it doesn't. He tells us exactly where he's going to take us, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. What does that mean? Friends, listen, this is not even open for debate. I'm going, he says, to go prepare a place for you up where my Father's dwelling is. I'm going to be doing it. And when I'm done, I'll come get you. Yeah, I know it's been 2,000 years. I'm still working on it. But when it's done, I'm going to come get you. And just to make sure you're not confused about where that's going to be, I'm going to be preparing it. I'll come get you, and I'm going to take you where I've been. I'm going to show you this. Question to you, just let it soak in your head. How do you get there? How do you fulfill what Jesus just promised? The vehicle, the doctrine, is called rapture. To be caught up off of this globe, out of this world, which incorporates the living and the dead in Christ, and deposits you, not instantly in heaven, mind you, but first instantly in the atmosphere. Christ collects his people, both the dead and the living, and from there he takes them, us, into his presence in heaven above. That has to happen for a lot of reasons. But that is thrilling news. It's a promised event given by Jesus himself. I love this. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 15. Look at your Bible. Get ready to mark it. Here's some more promises. For this we say to you, number one, by the word of the Lord. That's a New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament, thus saith the Lord. Paul said, when I'm speaking to you, this is not Paul speaking. This is none other than the Lord giving you this doctrine. That's a promise. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. That's a promise. Look at the third promise, verse 17. To meet the Lord in the air. That's a promise. I don't like promises unless Jesus gives them, by the way. Promises people give, they used to get me excited. Now I'd rather not hear them. Are you with me? You know that? I promise you. You know, young love. I promise to love you forever and ever. When, yeah, it's like, okay, what? You grow up and it's like, sure. No, I go to the promise keeper. It's Jesus.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And the fourth one is in verse 17, and thus we shall always, hallelujah, right? Always be with the Lord. The promises. It's a promised event. Number two, it's sudden. Oh, it's a sudden event. This is fun. I should have brought out an umbrella for a prop. I told you guys this before, but it's really good. Imagine an umbrella, and I'm holding the handle, and the umbrella's over my head. And on the outside of the umbrella, over the ribbing, it says the second coming of Christ. But on one side, from the handle over to one side of that canopy, is the rapture. And on the other side of the handle, on this side, is the second coming. Now, collectively, it's called the second coming, but the second coming is broken up into two manifestations, as I said a moment ago. One is an appearance in the atmosphere, and the other one, the second coming, is a physical return to Jerusalem. By the way, how do you, listen, if you don't believe this, how do you know the Jesus that you claim to know is the right Jesus? Because the Jesus of the Bible has to physically return to Jerusalem. Psst, that's why Jerusalem's in the news all the time. That's why everybody fights over Jerusalem. It's a spiritual issue. Who cares? Who cares about Jerusalem? It's not such a big deal. If you don't know the Bible, it's like, why vacation here? I'm serious. There's no river. There's no oil. There's no skiing. There's no waterfalls. There's nothing there. Except it's the place that God said, this is where my name dwells. The ancient Hebrew scholars believe that when God spoke the physical universe into existence, Jerusalem was under his feet when it formed. There's no natural reason why you should like Jerusalem. God says, I love it. And look, if God would have picked Chino Hills would be the big news topic of the world because it would be a spiritual event. No, it's because God moves in the realm of the spirit. It's remarkable and awesome. But the Bible tells us it's sudden. It's a sudden event. The rapture is sudden. Listen, everybody, mark this down. There is no prophetic precursors or requirements for the rapture to take place. There's not one thing that triggers the rapture to be next. Nothing. It's without warning. The second coming, there's nearly 280 prophecies that have to be fulfilled before the second coming can happen. Think of it. One is predominantly by far Gentile in nature. The other one is absolutely Jewish by nature. When Jesus comes in the rapture, he comes to collect those that believe him from the globe, both living and the dead, their bodies. Think of that. When he comes back regarding the second coming, it's specifically to finish his covenantal promises that were given to Israel regarding their relationship with him. It's remarkable. It's a sudden event. Verse 17 says, then we who are alive and remain. That's Paul's statement. By the way, Bible scholars in here, write it down. They are known as the five we statements of Paul. Five times in this chapter, Paul says, we who are living when he comes, we will be caught up. We will meet the dead in the resurrection. We will meet the Lord in the air. Paul included himself as being in that generation that would see the Lord, and he didn't give up on that until 2 Timothy chapter 4, when he concedes and says, I'm going to be dying now, and I have loved his appearing. And he's beheaded. But all his life he lived. By the way, Christian, every generation, from this book we know every generation of believers is to expect the imminent return of Christ in their lifetime. Did you know that? Every generation. From the beginning, the disciples believed Christ would return before they all died. It even says it in the Gospels. Isn't that interesting? The question is, are you living for? He said, Pastor Jack, people, my grandmother said Jesus was coming back. Okay, so listen, your grandmother was ready. What about you? And here's the other thing. If your grandmother said it, how much closer are we? Just because she said it then doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Wake up. It means we're that much closer. Yes. Oh, it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. It's a sudden event. 1 Corinthians 15:51. This is fun. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. The word in Greek is mysterion. It's a very cool word. It means something that has always existed. It's always been there. It's always true. It's always been real. It's just that there's been no reason to unveil it because it didn't matter. It's God's eternal truth. There was no reason for the mysterion with what he's about to say to be given in the Old Testament. So it's not. Because God's truth is eternal. Are you with me? So when Paul says here, behold, I tell you a mysterion, I'm telling you something that has always been God's truth, but it's not needed to be revealed until now. Why? Because the church age of believers are to be ready to meet Christ. It just so happens you and I are now 21 centuries out. How close are we? Look what he says. We shall not all sleep. The word sleep is referring to the believer's body appearance, not your soul. Some of you have been taught soul sleep. That's a cult view when people misunderstand scripture. Oh, sleep? Does that mean when you die as a believer, you just wait or you sleep? And then someday wake up? Nope. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes. Think of that. No, it's always referring to the body. You look, a Christian, a believer, you look, when you're sleeping, you look like you're dead. So, you know, some of you sleep. Is he breathing? Wake him up. Is he dead? He's sleeping in the Lord. He looks dead. The church, the doctrines, use the word sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Some argue back and forth, 18 to 22 thousandths of a second. Who cares? It's fast. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall, notice there he goes again, Paul, we shall be changed. I want you guys to look at this word. Go ahead and put it up on the screen. It's 1 Corinthians 15:51. Again, watch this, everybody. This is fun. Read your Bible carefully. For the trumpet will sound, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and what are we talking about? The dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking about the event you just read in 1 Thessalonians 4. Are you with me? Are you tracking?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Happens Next. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey friends, I want to excite you about our featured item of the month, and this is a tremendous book. Listen carefully though. It's a very small book in size, but it is gigantic in power. I'm talking about A.W. Tozer's classic, The Pursuit of God. The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it. In one of the chapters, he has labeled The Blessings of Owning Nothing. What could that possibly mean? Well, get a copy for yourself and find out how liberating and freeing that this little book can be in your life as A.W. Tozer takes the Word of God and opens it up to you in a very sweet and personal way. The Pursuit of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer.
The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God by turning your gaze slowly towards Him. The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.